Ezekiel 16, God's just talking to Israel in these verses. But what he says to his people, Israel, can be applied to his people today. What he says to them can be applied to us. Look, beginning in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in the water to subtle thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. One thing you'll find out about the Jews, you can read through the Old Testament and find this. You can find it also in the New Testament, but especially the Old, some of the things that are so personal to us that we won't mention publicly, they had no problem. There were some personal things that we would stay away from, but they readily speak of them. And the things that I've just read, most of us would try and shun away. We might talk about it with family. We may talk about it in a very personal setting with some people that we care about. But usually we wouldn't talk about it in public. So here I am speaking about it in public. But God is talking to Ezekiel, and he says to Ezekiel, you go tell Jerusalem, you go tell Israel, you go tell Judah, you go tell my people. You remind them where they were when I found them. You remind them where they were at. They were like a discarded baby. They were like a baby that had been born by a mama that didn't want them. And that mama did the unthinkable. That mama just cast the baby out into the field and went away. And you remind Jerusalem, you remind my people, you remind Israel that that's where they were when I found them. They were like a discarded baby. I want to mention first the picture that is sickening. The things that I just read about, to be honest, I sort of cringe when I read them. When I say them publicly, I do it with hesitation, but I do it without fear, for it's in the Bible. Because it's talking here about a baby that has been discarded, that's still in the afterbirth, still has all that's involved with the birth of a child. We find that the baby had not been cut. In verse 4 it says, And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. The navel had not even been cut. I mean, this mama was not a mama. She was just a woman. And she discarded the baby with all the afterbirth. I know that's not exactly what you want to hear, but that's exactly what had happened. Here's somebody, here's a baby that has been born but didn't been discarded, and the navel had not even been cut. But that's a picture of Israel. That also is a picture of me and you. For we were in a place where we were connected to the world. When the Lord came by your way, you were connected to the world. You had that worldly desire, that fleshly attitude. You were connected to sin and you could not turn loose. Maybe some of you tried to. Maybe some of you tried to improve, but you did it in vain. And God said to Israel, I want to remind you that that's where I found you. You were a baby that had not yet been cut. But notice also this baby not only had not been cut, it had not been cleansed. Look in verse 4 again. At the end of it says, Neither wast thou washed in the water to supple thee. And in verse 6 it says, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Now the first thing you do when a baby's born is cut the cord and cleanse the baby. You wash it up. But this baby had been discarded, and it not only was not cut, but it was not cleansed. In other words, here's a baby that has been completely thrown away. Nobody cares for it, seemingly. And that's exactly how we were. We not only were connected to the world like this baby, but we were dirty. We were filthy. Now, you may have been a moral person, but you still were filthy. You still had that world around you, but you had the flesh in you. You lived as you pleased, and you did as you wanted. And that's exactly what God said Israel was like when he found her. That's how you were when God found you. I want to remind us this evening where we were when God found us. Like this baby, we had not been cut loose of the world. Like this baby, we had not been cleansed of our sin. The filth of sin was all around us. It completely controlled our lives, whether we were moral or immoral. Notice again something about this sickening picture. The baby not only had not been cut and not been cleansed, but it had not been clothed. Look in verse 4, it says, nor swaddled at all. Well, you understand when a baby's born, the first thing they do is cut the navel cord, cleanse the baby, and then clothe the baby. They put clothes around the baby to keep it warm and comfortable. But this baby had been neglected and none of this had been done. And just like that, Israel was in a place where her sin was evident. She had not been able to cover her sin, and neither were you. Maybe you tried to. Maybe you got baptized. Maybe you joined a church. Maybe you turned over a new leaf. You tried to clothe yourself and make yourself look better. But friend, it didn't work. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. They made the fig leaves to try and cover their sin. And to be honest, they probably were satisfied with it for a while. But when God came, that clothing was not enough. Those fig leaves, they knew they were naked in spite of the fig leaves. And here's this baby out in the field, completely naked, without any clothing at all. Friend, that's where you were at, and that's where I was at. But more important than anything else, in verse 5, we find that this baby had not been claimed. It not only had not been cut, it had not been clothed, and it had not been cleansed, but it had not been claimed. The mama discarded the baby and threw it away, and nobody wanted it. Look in verse 5. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion on thee. Now the wording of that verse seems to me like somebody saw the baby. They walked by and saw the baby laying there. It says, none I pitied thee. Sounds to me like somebody saw the baby but didn't care. And they kept right on walking. People passed by and ignored this baby. No one would claim this baby. Now, a little cute baby, all fixed up and pretty, real nice and happy and full and comfortable. It's one of the prettiest things in the world, I suppose. But this kind of baby had no beauty. There was no desire from anybody about this baby. There was nothing about this baby to attract anybody. And that was the problem. Nobody cared. Nobody was willing to put forth the effort. Nobody was cared enough to do what the baby needed. But I'm glad the story doesn't end there. You see, that's exactly what we were like. The picture of this baby was a picture of us. Nobody cared for you very much. Now, you probably had family, I hope you did. You probably had friends, I hope you did, that cared. But there wasn't a thing they could do to help you. They could pray for you, they could witness to you, and I hope they did. But it did not help your situation. When he found us, we all were lost. I mentioned first a picture that is sickening. Let me mention number 2, the person that was stirred. Look in verse 6. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, while thou wast in thy blood, live. Others had passed by and kept going. Others had passed by and shrugged their shoulders and thought about how ugly the baby was. But here comes somebody, and you know who he is. He says, when I pass by, here comes one that comes and is stirred by the condition of the baby. And he says, when I saw you polluted in thine blood, I saw you as you were. I knew who you were. I wasn't surprised to find out more about you and finally decide I don't want anything to do with them. Sometimes that happens. You meet somebody and you think, well, they'll be a pretty good friend or maybe a pretty good mate. And after a few dates or after a few visits or after a few cups of coffee, you find that ain't the kind of person I want. That's not the one I want to marry. That's not the one I want to be the friend of. But here's the person. He knew what he was getting into, and he knew the baby well enough to know what he was facing. But God still cared. He was moved with compassion. Hey, I'm glad that when others didn't care, he cared. I'm glad when others kept going, he didn't. I have no doubt there was people who gave up on me. I have no doubt there was people in my family who said, he's a lost cause. I don't doubt that, and I probably would have too if I'd been them. But I'm glad God kept coming. God claimed me when nobody else did. I'm glad when he saw me, he was stirred. Here's somebody who comes and sees this baby in the condition that it's in, and he's stirred. And he goes to the baby, and he says, live! He goes to the baby, and he reaches out to help. I'll say it again, a pretty baby, dressed up real nice, smelling real good, smiling. Anybody would want that. But this baby, most people would discard. I'll never understand why God was moved toward us. The holy coming to the unholy. The perfect coming to the imperfect. The righteous coming to the unrighteous. The beautiful coming to the ugly. But he did. He loved us that much. He came to the baby because he realized the baby needed help. And that's how it was with us. He saw us in our condition. And he did for us what we could not do. This baby could not pull himself out of the field. This baby could not cut himself loose. This baby could not cleanse himself. This baby could not stand aright and go on and live life. He could do nothing, listen, but die in his condition. But somebody came by and saw the condition and said, I'm going to help. I'm going to make a difference. This baby needed life. In verse 6 it says, and I said unto thee while thou wast in thy blood, live. He went to that baby and he said, live. He picked up that baby and said, live. And that's what he did with me and you. He spoke life into your heart and life. He spoke life into your deadness. You were dying and heading to hell just like I was. Israel was lost and wrapped up in idolatry just like everybody else. But God went to them and God came to us when we didn't deserve it. And he said, live. And all of a sudden, I began to live. All of a sudden, my life was different. Where I did hate the things of God, all of a sudden, I started loving the things of God. And where I did love the things of sin and self and Satan, I got to where I hated those things. And the reason is because he had given me life. This little baby needed life. But listen, this little baby needed love. And I'm glad that God keeps telling the story. Look on in verse 7. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. He didn't just stop at the birth of this baby. He continues to talk about the life of this baby. And he says, I watched you as you grew, and you began to bud like a blossom. You grew and you developed. Look in verse 8. And when I was passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. He said, you got to where you're old enough to date. You got to where you was interested in the boys. You got to where you got to thinking about being married and needing some love and needing some compassion. I said this child, this baby didn't just need life, but it needed love. And God said, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, thou becamest mine. You know what he said, Israel? I was there at your birth, but I haven't left you. I've been walking with you and developing you and maturing you and helping you to grow to where you've developed and where now it's time for marriage. And he said, I propose marriage for you. Here's the person that is stirred. And listen, a proposal that is sweet. That spreading the skirt over is an act of proposal. It is saying, will you marry me? So God is doing more to Israel than just birthing her. He's doing more than just giving her life. He's giving her love. And he said, I did more than just become your father. I became your spouse. The Old Testament proves that God is like a wife to Israel. By the way, we as God's people in this day are the bride of Christ. There's a communion, there's a closeness, there's a relationship, there's an intimacy involved. And God said, I didn't just get you alive, but I began to love you. And I proposed marriage to you. I'm so glad he loved us that much. I'm so glad he loved Israel that much. But that's not the end of the story either. I've tried to mention a picture that is sickening. He found her in the worst of conditions as a little baby about to die, discarded. But he came to her. And I've mentioned the person that is stirred. He saw her and his heart was moved. I tried to mention a proposal that is sweet. He came to her and said, I love you. I want you for mine. But then also a problem that is serious. You knew it had to have some bad news, right? God's talking to Israel. God's talking to Jerusalem. God's talking to his people. Look in verse 22. And all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, hast thou not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood? He says, there came a time when you forgot me. I found you in your pollution. I found you about to die, and I gave you life. I found you when you needed love, and I've loved you and taken care of you. Now you've forgotten where you came from. You've forgotten where you were when I found you. You've forgotten that field and your pollution. You've forgotten those days when I was a husband to you and I loved you and took care of you. Now you've walked your way. You've turned your back on me. You've forgotten where you were and you've forsaken me. Look at verse 32. But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, he says, you've committed adultery on me. You've gone back to your idols. You've gone back to that sin. You've lived the harlot. You've lived against me. I've done nothing but love you. I've done nothing but good, but now you're living for self. Israel did that. Many times Israel forsook God. Many times Israel forsook her Lord. Many times Israel failed God, but so do we. And like a wife that commits adultery, we're unfaithful to him so many times. Look in verse 17. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. He said, you took my blessings and used them for yourself. You took the good gifts I've given you, those articles of love, those ornaments of love, those rings and that jewelry and all the gold and silver that I gave you to show you that I loved you. You have taken my good things and used them for yourself. And I say apologetically this evening, that's what we do so many times. We use the strength he gives us for ourselves. We use the intelligence he gives us for ourselves. We give the time he gives us and we use it for ourselves. We're so many times, I believe, like Israel. We forsake the God who loved us and gave us life. Look in verse 38. I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. Look in verse 42. So I will make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet and will be no more angry. He says in verse 38, I will deal with you like a forsaken man will. I will deal with you like a husband would his wife when she turns her back on him. I will deal with you as an adulterous woman. I will judge you. I will deal with you. In verse 42, he says, I will do it to such an extent that I will be worn out in my anger. And the time will come when I will be angry no more. He says, I'll deal with you. And I'll deal with you because I love you. But I'll deal harshly with you. And boy, they realized that. They found out they were in Babylonian captivity before long. And many times through Israel's history, you read the book of Judges especially, God blessed his people and they devoured his blessings and went astray. He judged them, dealt with them, they got right. He began to bless again. They devoured his blessings and took it for granted and went astray. He judged them, they got right. He began to bless them again, time after time after time after time. That's what they did, and I'm afraid so many times that's what we do. We try and get right. We try and get things straight, but it doesn't last long. And God says there's coming a time when I will deal with you. I'm talking here about the problem that is serious. There's a problem that God's not overlooking. He says, I will deal with it. And he said, if I need to, I'll just stop speaking to you. You understand he's on the right side. Now, when husbands do that and wives do that, they're wrong usually. But God says, I have done all that I can do, and it hasn't helped. And I'll do all that I can, but there comes a time when I'll just let you go. If you're determined to live your way, I'll let you. If you're determined to not listen to me, I'll let you. If you're determined to devour my good things and consume it for your own lust, he says, there'll come a time I'll let you. And I've said this so many times, but I'll say it again. That's the worst judgment God could ever invoke on his people. To stop talking to us. To stop dealing with us. To let us go. To let us go on in ourselves. To where we don't have concern and we don't care. But then lastly, and I'm glad the news ends in good, I've tried to mention tonight a picture that is sickening and a person that is stirred, a proposal that is sweet, a problem that is serious. I'll close with this thought, a promise that is sure. I'm so glad God ends on a good note. Look in verse 60. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. He says, no matter what, nevertheless, in spite of what you've done, in spite of where you've gone, in spite of what you've done, in spite of your sin, in spite of you forsaking me, in spite of forgetting where you're from when I found you, he says, I will remember my covenant that I made to you when you were young. He's going all the way back to Abraham, probably here, where he made a promise. But he's going to Israel no matter where, no matter when. And he made a promise to take care of them. He said, I made a promise and I'm going to keep it. And that's what he says to us this evening. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. I will take care of you. So many times he does that in spite of how we live, but I'm glad he does it anyway. He forgives. He restores. He helps. I'm so glad that no matter what, we can go to him and say, Lord, I need help. Sometimes, to be honest, we need to have to come like the prodigal and say, God, just make me a servant. But he says, I want more than a servant. I want a son. He says to his wife, you've been unfaithful like Hosea. But he says to Gomer, I love you anyway, and I want you back. And I'll pay you the price to get you back. And he says, just don't do it again. Love me. Just love me. You know that's what he's wanting. This whole message is a whole lot involved with this message. That's why I've come through all these points. But the bottom line is he just wants us to love him. He loves us and he wants us to love him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know what? He's wanting us to love him, not just keep his commandments. He does. Hey, that's been true throughout this message. He says, if you don't keep my commandments, you'll pay for it. I'll deal with you. But I want you to love me. I want you to do what I say because you love me. And he said, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. He wants us to love him. He's a good God. He's a gracious Father. He's my best friend. But he's our husband. And Jesus is our bridegroom. And one day he's coming back to get us. There's going to be a wedding. And I'm glad for that day, and I dread that day. Because I know I've got a lot to face then. But I'm glad there's mercy at the cross, and there's mercy at the throne. And I'm glad he welcomes us home. Let's stand together.